Okay, you're recording.
All right. So this morning's discussion needed a little bit more introduction than we normally do. So before we begin, so basically we finished the eighth principle, and we're now ready to move on to the ninth principle. And this morning, before we really move into discussing the idea behind it, the developing what exactly the principle is, we're going to have to spend one morning working out what the principle is. And the reason that we have to do this, what I mean by this, is that the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikrim are part of his commentary to the Mishnah, which was written in Arabic. And the version that we have, so there are several translations, and there are varying different sources, but basically they're all translations of the original Arabic of the Rambam, different varying degrees of scholarship in both the Rambam's writings and in Arabic in that went into those translations. But when it comes to this Ikr, there is a little bit of a discrepancy between one of the translations, which is very central, as we'll see, versus basically everything else that indicates what the Rambam meant. And we're going to try and just work out exactly what the idea the Rambam was saying before we get into the implications and the significance of it, just what the Rambam said. And it's going to be very important in terms of fitting it in with how it lines up with the other Ikrim and in the context of what he's talking about. So we'll see how this goes. So basically what we have on the front page here is the main translation that we have been working with, which is, relatively speaking, a more modern translation. This is the translation of Rabbi Kapach, who was actually, his name was actually in Arabic, Kafi, but since that was hard for the Israeli publishers of his writings to spell, or to Kafi, so they just did it Kapach, and that's how he became known as Kapach. But in any case, so in his commentary, he says, Yesod Hachi Habitl. The ninth principle is the bittul, which means nullification or cancellation. Vehu shazo haTorah Moshe lo tibatel, that this Torah of Moshe will not be nullified, will not be canceled. Velo tavo Torah me'es Hashem zulasa, and there will not come another Torah from Hashem other than this Torah. Right. So the principle, as Kapach translates it, as it's presented here, is the principle that there will not be bittul, there will not be a cancellation of the Torah, even from Hashem himself, that Hashem himself will not call a second meeting at Har Sinai in order to make some slight changes or to, you know, cancel the whole Torah and say, I've got a new Torah for you, right? That will not happen. The Torah is eternal. And the Torah will not be replaced. That is the ninth principle, as presented here. And in terms of the way we have the Ikrim, basically we have, you know, 6, 7, 8, and 9 are all part of one group, which we call, you know, the group which is about the Torah or about God's communication to people. We had the sixth one was the existence of Nevuah, of prophecy. The seventh one was the specific prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu vis-a-vis all other prophets, the special level of the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu being above and beyond any contradiction or competition from any other prophet. The eighth principle was the accuracy and the authenticity of Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy. And the ninth principle, so we have it here, is then the permanence of Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy, that the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu will not be altered, will not be replaced. It's eternal. So that's the as Kapach has it. So now we'll just see a number of sources that we're going to go through, which really all corroborate this understanding until we get to the last one, which I'm saving for last, which just to spoil the beans now, it is the translation, which if you open any Gemara, in the back of the Gemara, not any Gemara, but almost any Gemara, you open to the back of the Gemara, there is a printed in the Gemara, the Rambam's commentary to the Mishnah, and you open pretty much any Gemara, and there is a version of a translation of the Pirushal Mishnah of the Rambam's commentary to Mishnayos in the back, print in the back of the Gemara, which is generally called Ibn Tibbon's translation, Rav Yehuda Ibn Tibbon, commonly just referred to as Ibn Tibbon, his translation. However, it's not exact; it's not 100% necessarily accurate to say that every part of it was written by or was translated by Ibn Tibbon. There are different sections which were actually translated by different people, but the significance of it is that it is a translation which was written already, at least begun, in the lifetime of the Rambam himself. Rabbi Yehuda Ibn Tibbon actually sent questions to the Rambam of how to translate certain things. The Rambam attested to his trust or his faith in Ibn Tibbon as a translator. And so that's a very significant, it was for hundreds of years, for centuries, was, I think, the only translation, but certainly the primary translation of the Rambam's Pirushal Mishnah, and has a very central place in terms of the accessibility of the Rambam's writings. And we'll see, as our last shebang here, that the Ibn Tibbon translation has a drastically different presentation of this idea. But before we get there, we're going to go through all of the other indications that the Rambam does mean what he said, what we've seen so far. The next thing we have on the top of the next page is an even more recent translation of Rav Yosef Shilat, who is an Arabic scholar. He's, I believe, in the Yeshiva Ma'ale Adumim and in Eretz Yisrael. And his translation also, I think word for word, is the same as Kampach's translation, is Hayesod Hachi Habitol. The ninth Yesod is the Bittol, the cancellation. V'hushazos Torah Moshe lo tivatel, that this Torah of Moshe will not be canceled. V'lo tavo Torah me'es Hashem zulasa. Yeah, pretty much exactly the same. And there will not be another Torah from Hashem other than this one. The Ani Ma'amin. Now, the Ani Ma'amin, just to review something that we've said before, but just to throw it out there, that the Ani Ma'amin I would not bring in a vacuum as a source or a proof of what the Rambam meant. As I mentioned before, the Ani Ma'amin is not written by the Rambam. It's of unknown authorship. It contains certain things which are certainly oversimplifications of what the Rambam meant, which sometimes even lead to inaccuracies. Nothing in it seems to be false, just a lot of it isn't what the Rambam said, or what the Rambam meant, which is important when we're defining what is, you know, a principle of faith, what is an ikkar. But the Ani Ma'amin, certainly on its own, not an authority, but at least, you know, to throw it into the mix as an indication. So the ninth Ani Ma'amin Be'emunah Shleima, I believe with perfect faith, Shazos HaTorah Lo Tehe Mukhlefes, that this Torah will not be exchanged, it will not be switched, V'lo Tehe Torah Acheres Me'es HaBoris Baruch Shemo, and there will not be another Torah from Hashem. Right, so the Ani Ma'amin, right on the same page, that this Torah is the one and only Torah, and it won't be switched. Right? Which is basically the same point, that the Torah will not be canceled, will not be invalidated. Yigdal, the Yigdal poem, the liturgical poem, I don't know what liturgical means, but I always say that. But the poem Yigdal, which is said in many kehilos at either the beginning or the end of davening, so which is modeled off of the Yod Gimel Ikrim, Yigdal itself has, I'd say it's in general more faithful than the Ani Ma'amin's are, to the get it faithful, more faithful than the Animamins are to the clear intent of the Rambam. It has one or two things also in it which need clarification. We've discussed, I think we discussed in the fifth Iker that the Yigdal is not exactly so clear how it is expressing the Rambam's fifth Iker, but in any case, his presentation of the ninth Iker, which I have underlined here, Lo Yachalif Hakel Velo Yamir Daso Lo Lamim Lazulaso, that God will not switch and he will not betray, or he will not rebel against his das, against his manifesto. La'olamim lezulaso, forever, in it for another, right? Meaning God will never exchange the Torah for another Torah. So the same wording as the animam in lo yachalif, right? Lo teim uchlefes, that it won't be switched, right? So the Torah will not be exchanged for another Torah. So again, the same idea that the that the Torah that we have is the one and only Torah, and there will not be another Torah, even from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Now, the last two sources that we have here, before we get to the tricky one, are of particular significance because they are from the Yad HaChazakah, from the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, and the Rambam's Mishneh Torah is one of the few things that the Rambam himself wrote in Hebrew. Many of the other classic works of the Rambam were written in Arabic and translated to Hebrew. The Sefer HaMitzvos, the Mor Nevochim, the Pirush HaMishnah, all of those were relying on translations, but the Yad HaChazakah was written by the Rambam in Hebrew, and therefore there is no question, except when it comes to basically just discrepancies between different manuscripts, but the Rambam himself expressed it the way he wanted to express it. So we can see from the Yad HaChazakah, in the Rambam's own words, or I guess we'll say, I don't know, in the Rambam's own exact language, exactly what the idea being expressed is. So the first one of these two sources, the Rambam in Yesodei HaTorah, the ninth chapter of Yesodei HaTorah, the Rambam says, "Davar." Before we see this, now the Rambam here, it's not obvious that the Rambam here means to repeat, means to be conveying the same point that he's conveying in the Ikrim, meaning I could show you as many things as I want from what the Rambam says at other places and say it's certainly true that the Rambam says that the Torah won't be canceled, but who says that that's what he's saying, that that's what he means to say in the Yod Gimel Ikrim? So before we actually look at what he actually says, just the important reason that this is so indicative is if you go back to either of our translations of the Rambam, you see that when he brings his textual support for this principle, he says, Lo yitosif bav lo yigara mimenu, lo bekasav lo beferish, that there will not be anything added or subtracted from the Torah, not written and not in explanation. Amar, as the Torah says, Lo tosif alav velo sigra mimenu, do not add onto it and do not subtract from it. So the Rambam brings as his source text for this Iker is the biblical prohibition to not add onto or subtract from the Torah. And that's going to be significant because that's what the Rambam invokes in this point here, in this halacha here, in Yesodei HaTorah. The Rambam says, Davar baror u'meforesh v'Torah, that it is explicit and clear in the Torah, Shehi mitzvah omedes la'olam u'la'olamei olamim, that it is a mitzvah, a command, which stands forever and for always. It is eternal and everlasting. Ein la lo shinoi velo giron velo tosefes. It has no alteration, no subtraction, and no addition. Shene'emar, as it says, es kol hadavar asher anochi mitzave eschem oso tishmarun lasos lo tosef alav velo sigra mimenu. So the Rambam now quotes that same pasuk, do not add on to the everything that I've commanded you, you should keep to do. Do not add on to it and do not subtract from it. So the Rambam, quoting the same scriptural source, quoting the same pasuk, gives this very explicit explanation, that what it's telling us is that the Torah is never going to be changed. The Torah is the eternal commandment, and there will not be any change, and not even from Hashem himself. It doesn't just say that we won't change it, but it won't be changed. It is eternal, and he brings the same verse. So that would seem to indicate that the idea that the Rambam was discussing in the Yod Gimel Ikrim, when he brings this same verse, is this idea, is the idea that the non-cancellation of the Torah will not be nullified, will not be changed, will not be altered. That's the point of the Rambam. And the last source, and this one, I think we might say, is the most significant, because this one is in the third chapter of Hilchos Tshuva, which we have referred to many times in this class, because the third chapter of Hilchos Tshuva is where the Rambam phrases in the negative almost all, at least 11, let's say, of the Yud Gimel Ikrim in the formulation of, in the negative formulation. The Yud Gimel Ikrim is telling you what you must believe, and Hilchos Tshuva Perek Gimel is telling you what your status is if you don't believe. So the first five, it goes through, match up pretty straightforward to the Rambam's first five Yud Gimel Ikrim, and he calls those the Minim. And then he's got a second group who he says are called the Apikorsim. That's the person who denies Nevuah or the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, or says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is not observing the world, which is going to be the tenth Iker, right? So that's that's eight of the Ikrim. And now he goes into another category, which he calls the Kofrim B'Torah. And in the Kofrim B'Torah, he has someone who denies that the Torah came from Hashem, but rather that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who, either in part or in all, wrote the Torah. That even, he says, even if you say one word came from Moshe Rabbeinu. And then he says, this is in the final example of a Kofer B'Torah in his list of these important classifications, which seem to line up with the Yod Gimel Ikrim that we have in Perek Chelek, says V'ha'omer shahabore hechlif mitzvah zu b'mitzvah acheres, someone who says that God exchanged this mitzvah, meaning the Torah, with a different mitzvah, with a different set of commandments, u'kvar batla Torah zu, and this Torah is now nullified, is now canceled, is now invalidated, af al pi shehi haisa me'im Hashem, even though it was from Hashem, kigon hanotrim v'ha'hagarim, like what the Christians and the Muslims did.
Hagar, right? Muslims?
Yes. The Rambam.
Hagar.
What? Hagar, right. The
what
descendants of
use,
Hagar.
What does he use for the term Muslim?
So he in many places refers to the Muslims as the Hagarim, because they are descended from Yishmael, who was the son of Hagar. So he refers to them in a number of places as the Hagarim. So is that the Notrim and the Hagarim, the Christians and the Muslims, both said, yes, of course God gave the Torah, but then, you know, he had an even better idea. And Yashka came along, or Muhammad came along, and God told him.
What about
Joseph
Smith? Joseph Smith wasn't around at this
time. So he had
he
his...
He would have been in there.
That's right.
Not to mention half
all
a dozen
wonderful
other ones.
Sequels.
So, right, exactly, the sequel, right?
Oh, Thursday, you missed it. The world was supposed to end.
Oh, I read about that, yeah.
But guess what? It didn't.
Well, I mean, it could be it did, and it was just recreated very quickly, like Friday morning. I don't know. But all right, in any case, so the Christians, they certainly say, yeah, they even claim to believe in the Old Testament. Testament. It's just that it's all, you know, obviated. It's all been, it's not no longer binding. We came up with something new and improved, right? So that's the Old Testament. They've got a New Testament. Certainly, you know, it's falling back on the accolades of the Old Testament. They're not going to deny that. That's, you know, you don't get off the ground without accepting first, you know, that God spoke to Israel. So that they accept and they say, but it's all true, and there was a Torah, it's from God and everything, but God, you know, came along and he issued a version 2.0. And that's what we have. And the Muslims, never been clear to me exactly how much of what Islam accepts. Do they hold that Yashka was a prophet or not? And they, I don't know, that's a mishmash going on over there. But either way, they certainly say that God gave the Torah. Now, they also have some things about corruption of the Torah, so I didn't exactly, you know, what they accept came from God and what didn't. That's issues with, you know, the eighth principle. But certainly they say that whatever in the Torah was in the Torah, but, you know, then we had this great guy Muhammad came along and he had something even better. And so the Torah was valid for a good while, but now it's no longer relevant, and we've got something new. God came along, and God himself, you know, came to Muhammad to issue the new Torah, and that's now what we have to work with. So that's the Rambam says very clearly that this Kofer B'Torah is the one who says that the Torah has been nullified, has been canceled, and there no longer is a binding nature to the Torah, even though it was certainly from God in all of the with all of the conditions that we've set until now, but that was, you know, was fun for a while, but now we're moving on to other things, right? That's what the Rambam lays out here. That seems to be very clearly the consensus of everything we're seeing, that this idea is the idea of the permanence of the Torah, the eternal nature of the Torah, and that the Torah is never going to be canceled, never going to be nullified, never going to be changed. And there will not be any replacement for the Torah. So now we move on to what I have labeled as the Targum HaNidfas, which just means the printed Targum, the printed translation, because it's the translation that's printed in the Gemara. The reason I gave it such a vague name is because of what I said before, that it's often referred to as the translation of Ibn Tibbon, but it's not 100% clear that it was actually written by Ibn Tibbon. But in any case, it certainly is the translation which was written, you know, around 8 centuries ago, and is printed in virtually all Gemaras. And in this translation, it says as following: Hayesod HaTashi, the ninth principle, HaHe'etek, which literally means the copying over, the reproducing. Vehu ki haTorah hazos mu'atekes me'es habora yisbarach shem habora Hashem yisbarach lo mezulaso. That this Torah is copied over, is repeated from Hashem and not lo mezulaso and not from anyone else. V'aleha ein lehosif umimenu ein legroa, and you cannot add on to it, and you cannot subtract from it. So the ninth ikker, as we have it from the Nidfas, from this translation, seems to be the point that the Torah comes from God. The Torah is copied straight from what God said. It doesn't come from anyone else, and then leads into this point of that there won't be additions to it, no subtractions on it. But the main description of the Iker here seems to be this point that the Torah will not be added, that the Torah is 100% from God. Now, the problem with that, the big problem with that is that in as much as we have seen before that the Rambam is willing to separate very related and even maybe logically overlapping points into separate ikarim, right? The first ikar and the fourth ikar, one really is subsumed by the other, and we had a couple other examples where certain things could be extrapolated from the other. The Rambam is certainly willing to split one concept into two parts. But the Rambam is not going to repeat himself. The Rambam is not going to say the same thing twice. And the eighth principle was that the Torah came from Hashem, Moshe was just a scribe. Hashem told him what to write, and he wrote it exactly, word for word, the words that God said. Moshe wrote down the actual language of God. There was no editing. There wasn't a single word, even the dates and the stories and everything that may seem to the casual observer like an unimportant detail. All of it directly from God, with no editing, no personal innovation from Moshe Rabbeinu. That was the eighth principle, was the accuracy and the authenticity of the Torah. So the Rambam, as much as he may be willing to explicate related similar points and make sure that he speaks out each one individually for emphasis or for whatever reason, but the Rambam is not going to tell us the same thing twice. The Rambam is not then going to turn around and tell us that the Torah comes from the eighth principle. Torah comes from God, word for word. Ninth principle, Torah comes from God, word for word. The Rambam doesn't do that. And that's the biggest problem with this translation. Aside from all of the indications from the Rambam himself, from very early sources like Ani Mamin and Yigdal, that wasn't the point of the Rambam. There are plenty of other sources we could have brought into this discussion. The Abar Benel, in his discussion of this Iker, is very clear that the point is that the Torah will not be switched, will not be nullified. So aside from all of that, there's an even more basic problem, which is that this Iker, this principle, seems to become a complete repetition of the previous principle if we take it the way that the Targum HaNidfas has it. And there are some who say that this version that we have here was corrupted by the Christian censors. I don't know if it'd be the Christian censors or the Arabic censors, but the way I saw it was those the Christian censors, that this translation was corrupted by them. The Rambam happens to have lived under Arabic Muslim rulership, but the translation was written in more European areas where it could have been Christians. Either way, that there are some who say that this was corrupted by the Christians for good reason, that they would want to do that, because as we saw in the version of this principle as it appears in Hilchos Tshuva, it's directly addressing the Christians and the Muslims. It says the Torah is not going to be switched like those Christians and Muslims say it was. So the desire to corrupt this principle, you could accept everything else the Rambam said and say the Torah was whatever it was, but now we have something new, right? All the other principles become somewhat dependent on this point. If you say the Torah was whatever it was, but now it's whatever I want it to be, because I got a prophecy that says otherwise, so that you can basically be fine with everything else that we said, because it all becomes obsolete once you argue with the ninth principle. So for a Christian or a Muslim, the most offensive, so to speak, principle would probably be the ninth one. So it could be very well that this entire first line was edited, censored out by the Christian censors. We do know that the Christians did a lot of censoring. I think that it's known that they did a lot more than the Muslims did. But it's certainly a reasonable theory, a reasonable possibility. The consensus of everything else we've seen from the Rambam himself, from earlier sources, that's a likely possibility. But that's one suggestion, is that this translation, this final translation, is really corrupted, and it's basically just a mistake, and you know, that would be the end of the discussion. I just wanted to present, however, one other understanding, and this will somewhat lead us into the rest of our discussion about this Iker, which will not happen today, but which is that Rav Yaakov Weinberg understood that, and this is somewhat uncharacteristic of the Rambam, but Rav Yaakov Weinberg understood that in this Iker, the Rambam is somewhat laying in a segue from the eighth Iker into the ninth Iker, which is that, and we're going to go more into this as we go along, that the ninth principle, the permanence of the Torah, really comes very straightforward, very fluidly off of the eighth principle. The eighth principle being that the Torah came directly from God, word for word. It is the most clear and unadulterated conveying of Hashem's will. And the Rambam is saying that being that the Torah is 100% exactly what God wanted, word for word, exactly as He wanted to say it. Therefore, Ein lahosef imenu, Ein legroa lo b'torah shebekhtav lo torah shebe'ah, shenemar lo tosef alav lo tigra imenu. Therefore, you cannot add on to it, you cannot subtract from it, there will not be any additions, and there will not be any subtractions to it, because this is the most straightforward, the most clear presentation, revelation of Hashem's Ratzon, that there won't be anything to come afterwards. There's nothing more to talk about. And the Rambam is therefore, in a certain sense, laying the foundation for this principle and then telling you what the principle is. The Rambam therefore says that this principle is the principle that the Torah is 100% from God, and therefore, and then this would be the thrust of the point of the principle, that it cannot be taken away from, it cannot be added onto, and it will not be taken away from, and it will not be added onto, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, because God himself laid out the exact formulation of the Torah, unlike any other prophecy, in which we might call it a certain degree of divine inspiration, in which God gives the message to the prophet, but it is formulated in the words of the prophet. Every other prophecy, there is no such thing. It was a one-time event that there was a prophet and a prophecy which came word for word from God, and therefore there cannot be anything to add on or to subtract from the Torah, because there will not be another revelation of prophecy on that level, and is therefore very tied into the previous two Ikrim. The prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu was unique and unparalleled, and therefore the Torah, the revelation, the level of revelation that is the Torah, is unique and unparalleled, and therefore there is nothing that will add on to it, and there's nothing that will subtract from it. There is no more to discuss, and that's the point of this Ikr, is somewhat laying its own foundations and then conveying what the point of the Ikr is. Now, at the end of the day, I just want to point out that I think that within these words that we have here, of this translation, that works out very nicely. I will point out that I think it still is just historically unlikely that the more plausible explanation, I think, is that just that this was corrupted, whether it was just by a copier's error or it was from censors or however it happened, but just within the way the Rambam himself phrases this principle in the other places where he discusses it, with the way it was repeated by others, the way in which the more modern scholarly Arabic translations have translated it, I think the most likely explanation is that there was either a corrupted copy of the Arabic or the translation itself was censored, and that's how it became mistaken. But the point that we are going to now try and develop the significance of is this point that the Torah is eternal. There will not be a replacement for the Torah. The Torah will not be canceled. It will not be nullified. It will not be replaced, added onto, subtracted from, edited in any way, shape, or form. The Torah, as we have it, is permanent, and that is and we'll have to discuss why that should be true, and why that is an ikar, why that is an essential point of Jewish faith. So we will continue on this point next Sunday.
I notice that the next line when it says Lo Torah Shabbat Bisav, Lo Torah Shabbat Peh.
Yes, that's true, and we'll possibly talk about that.